All right, so welcome everybody who's at home because of the weather or other reasons. Welcome to our scripture and sermon for this week. I'm glad that we're able to offer this for you. Our scripture lesson for today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. I want you to hear now the words of the Lord. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of assembly when you said, If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet, that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So growing up, you may have heard a lot about this, and I know I did. What did you think it meant to take the Lord's name in vain? I thought it meant cussing, right? Okay. And not just, you know, cussing when you use the Lord's actual name, right? Like, nobody says Yahweh and then cusses, right? Not just saying God and then cussing or something like that, right? But any type of bad words. My dad was a type, and many of you may be this way too, when the radio would play a song that had a bad word in it, we'd get to that bad word and he would turn the sound down and turn it back up, right? And when he would get upset, he would say things like, God bless America or something like that, right? Now, debatable whether that's any better than throwing out four-letter words, right? I don't know. But he had more self-control than I do, okay? Growing up, I had the idea, based on what I had been told, that taking the Lord's name in vain was all about the words that I said when I got upset, like when I stubbed my toe, or I trip, or I break something, right? And I even had friends in school who had internalized that to such a point that they could cuss a blue streak, right? They could make a sailor blush, but they would never say God, right? And this was their compromise. They could say all the other words they wanted as many times as they wanted, as long as they didn't say God, okay? Now, I think we can see that that really isn't what was aimed for, right, when we talk about that. And so I want you to think about this. What does it actually mean to take the Lord's name in vain? What if taking the Lord's name in vain is more than just an oath? What if taking the Lord's name in vain is more than just that frustrated utterance that you make when you get frustrated? What if taking the Lord's name in vain is what we hear in our scripture today? Speaking what the Lord doesn't tell you to say. And I'm going to give you some examples, okay? It's happened many, many times, many more times than this, but here are some examples. And one place where this happens a lot is in people predicting things like the end of time, right? When people predict things like the rapture or the second coming of Christ, things like that. And so one early example of this is William Miller. William Miller was the leader of the Millerite group, which later became the Seventh-day Adventist. Okay. He said, very boldly predicted, Jesus is coming on March 21st, 1844. Now, what do you think happened when March 22nd, 1844 came along? He said, actually, I meant October 22nd. And then October 23rd came, and he just kind of said, hey, we're Seventh-day Adventists now. Forget what I said before, right? They rebranded, okay? Charles Taze Russell was the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. He said in 1914, Jesus is coming soon. Now, you can understand why somebody might think Jesus was coming soon in the 19-teens, right? There's depression. There's World War I, all that awful stuff going on. And you might think, oh my goodness, if Jesus is ever coming back, he's coming back now, right? And yet, 1915 came along and he just kind of pretended he never said anything. Pat Robertson was convinced Jesus was coming back in 1982. Now, I guess it's a positive thing for me because I was born in 1982, so I get this chance to live and have a whole life. But that didn't happen, okay? Edgar Wisnant wrote a book. Some of you may be familiar with it. 88 Reasons the Rapture Will Be in 1988. I can give you 188 reasons he was wrong, right? Or I don't know, how many more years since then? 30-something? Okay. And then he said, well, actually, no, I meant 89 and 93 and 94. Okay. And eventually he just stopped talking about it. Okay. Why do I use these examples? Okay. And there's many, many others. The one thing that unites all the people who have predicted when Jesus is returning and all this kind of stuff is that they've all been wrong up to this point. Now, that doesn't mean somebody's not going to be right eventually, right? Just statistically speaking, if you keep saying it and you guess every day, eventually you're going to be right, right? Like playing the lottery, okay? But I want you to think about when you speak on behalf of God, there's a great responsibility, okay? And the reason I used the example of second coming and rapture-y things and that sort of thing is that every time that somebody says, right, this is going to happen on this date, mark it down, and then inevitably they're wrong, what does it do to the perception of people? What does everybody start to think? Yeah, they forget that scripture, right? First of all, the person who predicted it forgot that scripture, right? And then, though, people out in the world at large aren't familiar with that concept, right? That Jesus says, hey, even I don't know, right, when he's on earth. He's like, even the Son of Man doesn't know, right? And yet, people proclaim it and confidently say it, right? And then people in the world at large start to think one of two things. Either all these Christians make stuff up, right? And they don't actually know what they're talking about, or they think it's all made up in the first place and it's not actually going to happen, right? It's like the boy who cried wolf, right? That kid's constantly saying there's a wolf, and then when there really is a wolf, nobody's listening. Right? So the danger when you speak on behalf of God and you're not truthful, or you're saying something that you just hope, or you're guessing, and you say that it's from God, then you have a great responsibility and you can do great damage. You can, when you speak on behalf of God, and believe me, this is why I get nervous sometimes when I preach, right? Not because I'm going to stumble over my words, because I do that anyway, and y'all have known me long enough to know that I'm going to get back on track and it's going to be okay, okay? Not because of the sound of my voice or anything else or how I look, but because when you speak on behalf of God, you can do wonderful things, right? You can build people up. You can remind them of their wonderful infinite worth. You can tell them that they are made in the image of the divine God, and that when God made them, God looked at them and said, you are good, right? You can remind them of that. Or you can remind them and make them convinced that they're worthless. You can hammer on how bad they are and the things that they do wrong until they're ready just to give up, right? You can do great things and horrible things speaking on behalf of God. You can inspire somebody to great deeds of charity. You can say, look how you can help your fellow man. Look at the wonderful difference you can make. Or you can move them to deeds of horrible cruelty. We've seen that throughout history, right? Everything from slavery to the Holocaust had people speaking on behalf of Christ, saying, this is what we need to do because God wants us to do it. Now, we can look back with the benefit of hindsight and say it's obvious that God didn't want them to do that, right? But there were people who heard someone influential speaking in the name of God and said, oh, well, they must be right, right? And that's dangerous. So here's the kicker. You can convince people of a lot of different things in the name of God. And here's how you do it. You tell people a little bit of what they want to hear, right? You sprinkle in that little bit. Oh, sorry, I'm not getting it on the screen. You sprinkle in, right, like Salt Bae. You give a little bit of that seasoning of what they want to hear. And for many of us Christians, right, you sprinkle in, Jesus is coming, right? If you do this, Jesus will come. And that's tempting, right? That's like, for me, putting garlic and cheese on something, right? If you tell me it's got cheese and garlic on it, I want to eat it, right? And for Christians, you tell us Jesus is coming, and we say, yes, that's wonderful, right? That's what we want. We want Jesus to come and set this world at right, right? We want a restoration to the when like it was in the garden, right? To where we walk in front of God and we're not ashamed. To where nation doesn't lift up sword against nation and we don't study war anymore. We want there to be no east or west or servant or free or woman or man and all that stuff. And we want the new Jerusalem here on earth, right? Those are things that we desperately want because it would be perfect and wonderful, right? The fulfillment of all that we hope for. But the danger is when somebody takes that hope and then they use it, they sprinkle in and add in their own darkness, right? Some examples. Women who think for themselves are witches, right? Pretty soon, people are getting crushed between rocks and hung and stoned and things like that, right? Anybody who has a different belief than me is a communist. Pretty soon, they get thrown in jail, careers destroyed, things like that, right? Jews are bad. They're destroying everything in the world, right? They've even got lasers that are starting wildfires and all this kind of stuff, right? There's microchips in vaccines and Democrats eat babies, right? And these sound silly, but they're actual things that people say, right? And don't hear me as I'm only defending one side. If somebody gets up there in the name of Jesus and says that you need to kill all the people who are conservative, then that's wrong, right? If somebody says that we need to ethnically cleanse any group because of Jesus, then that is 100% not from God. That's from the devil, right? That's from the darkness in our own hearts, not from the light of God. And this is the danger of people who style themselves as prophets, right? Because there is no school that teaches you or that credentials prophets, right? Somebody like myself goes to college and goes to divinity school, and then there's a whole big rigmarole of how you get vetted by the conference and all this kind of stuff, right? And it's difficult and it's hard because they don't want somebody getting up in front of y'all and doing something awful, right? Because they want us to actually be wanting to do what Jesus wants us to do. But there is no credentialing school for being a prophet. How do you become a prophet? I'm not saying whether they're true or false prophets. You just say that you're one, right? You say, I have a message from God, and it's this. And so here is what you got to do. You got to look at whoever is speaking. Not to judge that person, but to judge the message. And the content of the message will tell you from whence it came, right? A message that tells you that crazy things are going on is false. A message that tells you to hate your neighbor is false. A message that tells you that if you do this, then God will love you and take care of those other people and get rid of them, that is a false prophecy. And when a prophecy is false, who changed? Did God change? No. It's not God who changed when the prophecy is false. Instead, the prophecy came from the darkness of the prophet's heart, the self-styled prophet's heart. So, this is one of those weird things where they stopped the lesson before I would have stopped it. So let's hear the next two verses in Deuteronomy. You may say to yourself, how can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. And folks, we are in times in which there's struggles, there's pain, there's death, there's wars and rumors of wars, right? All those things that fit with some of the stuff that Jesus says. And so people are going to come and they're going to be on Facebook and they're going to be in different places and they're going to prophesy to you about how God is doing this and Jesus is going to do that. And then I want you to look at it and think about what they're saying. If their message says, Jesus is coming soon, and then Jesus is going to get vengeance on everybody that you don't like, then folks, that ain't from God. Amen. If the message says, Jesus is coming soon, and by the way, everybody with whom you disagree is a member of a sex cult, then it's not true. It's too convenient, right? If the prophet tells you that something is going to happen and it doesn't happen, don't accept when they come back like Edgar Wisnant and said, oh, Jesus is coming in 88. No, I meant 89. No, I meant 93. No, actually, I meant 94, right? Don't accept that. When they got it wrong, they got it wrong. It wasn't from God, right? And that applies to everything. And not to step on toes, but I'm going to do it. Q is a false prophet. Okay? Gives you what you might want to hear. But when a time and time again it's proven wrong, it's not from God. Now, we can argue and we can have differences of opinion, but we can't continue to accept the moving of the goalpost on somebody who makes a prophecy, right? Because I can get up here and I can tell you, hey, look, the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? But then when they come out and they go 5-11, or whatever that number would be, 5-11, then I say, oh, I didn't mean next year. I meant the year after, right? And I can keep doing that forever, right? The Chicago Cubs did that for 100 years. But that doesn't make it true, right? And it's fine for a sport because you're being silly. But it's not fine when it can lead to danger for our loved ones. It's not fine when it can lead to us hating others based on what their convictions are or their skin color or their religious beliefs or anything like that. When a prophecy leads us down that path, that prophecy is not from God. Use that way of thinking. Use that. Filter anything that you hear from someone who claims to speak from God. I am happy to say, please do that to me. Okay? When I speak to you from the pulpit and I tell you something, I'm not saying I know exactly what God has to say. What I'm saying is this is my best interpretation of what the Scripture says. And I'm willing to be wrong. And I might be wrong sometimes. I can look back at some of my sermons from my early career and I can say, I don't think I was right when I said those things, right? Or I thought I was right at the time, but I said it in the wrong way, in a way that wasn't life-giving, right? And that's the difference, though. When we look at the Scriptures and we interpret them and we want to understand them, we have to come at it with humility and say, I don't 100% know, right? Like you said, right? No one knows the day and the hour when we talk about the second coming, right? We believe and we hope fervently that it will come. And we want it to come soon, right? So that all this pain and this suffering and all of that is at an end. But we have to be honest that we don't know. So use filter whatever that you can. Anything that someone says on behalf of God, say, is it truthful? Is it loving? Is it kind? Does it lead me to love my neighbor? Does it fit with the way that Jesus lived his life on earth? And if it doesn't, don't worry about it. It's not true. Because who's the one who's going to prove everything right or wrong? Christ, right? Not me. Not you. Not somebody who's really important or somebody who speaks a lot on the internet or whatever it is. Not that person. Christ. Be willing to engage your mind and your heart to think about what's being said. And when it's not kind and when it's not loving, tune out. Move on to something else. We have wonderful, wonderful messages throughout the scriptures, right? That we can go back to again and again and again, and we've been able to go back to them for centuries. I don't frankly need somebody else to tell me something new. I have the words of life right here. So, I encourage you, look around you, take a moment. When you hear something that inflames your passions, right? Because that's what all this stuff does, right? Whether it's TV or Facebook or Twitter or any of that stuff, right? Or Parlay or any of the other Liker and all these different things. Those are there to get you excited, get you angry, get you riled up, right? Whenever you see something on there and it gets you really, really going, just take a moment, breathe. Is this from God? Does this convince me to love my neighbor? Does this help me to love God? If it doesn't, move on. Turn to the tried and true words in our scriptures, knowing that in there is love, in there is peace, in there is joy. And be ready to do that with everyone that you meet. Amen.